The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. He woke me up this morning. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good.
Lord,
you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. From every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are.
We worship, we worship, we worship you, Lord.
We worship you.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. So good, so good. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yeah.
So good,
so good. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yeah. So good, so good. Yes, you are, yeah.
You are good.
You are good all the time and all the time. You are good. You are good all the time and all the time. You are good. You are good all the time and all the time. You are good. You are good all the time. All the time, you are good.
We worship
you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you. For who you are,
who you are,
for who you are,
who you are,
for who you are. You are good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody say
bless,
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 bless.
Bless, 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 the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Come say, say blessed.
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 Blessed. Blessed.
The field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Hallelujah.
We are blessed. And God, He blesses us. He gives us so much we don't even know how to deal with all the blessings that He gives us.
Yes.
So, no, keeping that in mind, let's just lay down our burdens. Lay them down by the riverside.
That's right. That's right.
I'm going to lay down my burdens
down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside.
I'm going to lay down my burdens
down by the riverside and study. Word no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more. Down by the riverside,
down by
the riverside, down by the riverside.
I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield
down by the riverside to study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
Study war no
more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more. Oh, oh, oh,
oh. I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I'm gonna put on my starry crown
down by the riverside.
Down by
the riverside.
Down by
the riverside.
Starry crown
down by the riverside to study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
Study war no more.
Study war no more. Down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside.
I'm gonna put on my long white robe
down by the riverside to study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
War no more.
Study war no more.
war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
Testing, testing. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Hate to see you go. That was good. Good music. Good music. Praising the Lord. Again, I want to say happy Sabbath to you today. Want to turn your attention today to the book of 1 Samuel. But before then, I just want to say a word about Dr. Martin Luther King, who we're going to touch on this morning a little bit. We're going to speak on the topic, maybe God's trying to tell you something. And there was a motion picture out called The Color Purple. And one person, Shug Avery, leaves Harpo's juke joint on her way to the church. Some of you have seen that. On the way to the church, pastored by her estranged father, on a forced march through cotton fields, Shug is accompanied by an impromptu choir singing On Their Way. Maybe God is trying to tell you something. You know who wrote that? Andre Crouch. And I was so sad to hear that he had passed away just recently. Andre Crouch. The first time I heard Andre Crouch was over my sister-in-law, Emma Mackey's house. Over where she was living. I never heard of Andre Crouch, and I went over to her house, and she had an album of Andre Crouch there playing Wilma. And it's the first time I heard Andre Crouch. So on this march through the cotton field, Shug is accompanied by this choir singing, Maybe God is Trying to Tell You Something. The unspoken implication is that in trying times, it is important to listen for the lesson and hear the voice of God within it. And the task for those of us who are attracted to such thoughts is not to see God in our stories, but to imagine our stories in God's, learning somehow to see our humanity in divinity. With the case of Samuel, as we turn to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Such is the case with Samuel. And this is a fascinating story. I remember hearing, even when I was a young child. It's about a young man, only 12 years of age, serving as a temple assistant to Eli, the high priest at Shiloh. And the presumptive implication of this narrative is that God calls into service those who appear to be less likely. You know, sometimes we think that we want the pastor who is 6 feet four and tall and dark and handsome and big and robust and intelligent, and you can just look at him and tell he's a pastor. But God has a way of calling those who appear to us to be less likely. Even myself didn't feel like I qualified for the ministry, didn't look like a minister, didn't talk like a pastor when he called me. Always wanted to be 6 feet tall like my brother, Cookie, but I never reached there. But those God calls into his ministry, the ones who are likely to be pastors. God summons into service those who do not have the credentials or the spiritual gravitas, the spiritual dignity to assume the purposes and priorities of God. Yet, this is a time in the nation's history when someone is needed not only to bring a nation to its feet, but also to bring a nation to its senses. It's kind of strange that God should choose an unexpected spokesman, an inexperienced politician, an untested preacher with no prophetic credentials to his name. For young Samuel, leadership would not be born in him, but rather thrust upon him. His place in history would not be his choice, but would rather be his God-determined destiny. As we go any further, we're going to look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we open up this short pericope, Lord, I just want your spirit to come down here even more and give us understanding of your word, Lord. Help us to open our ears, even as little Samuel. And Lord, in the end, Lord, may respond like Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Open up our ears and our heart today for thy spirit, Lord. May the words of my mouth, these clay lips, and the testimony of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Of course, the story of Samuel, whose life serves kind of as a background to the place of Dr. Martin Luther King, is to understand that in order for spiritual or social change to be accomplished, one must first be awakened to the world around you. Three times, the Bible says, over and over, Samuel's sleep is disturbed. In his time and in our time, this is no time to sleep. If there is to be any sense of justice within this land, there can be no time or reason to rest. God's first choice was to awaken the one who would be preacher. Or stated differently, God awakened the church. But sadly, the world today no longer seeks moral guidance and input from the church. And it appears that the church today needs guidance. The world has set aside the moral authority of the church because we who have been commissioned to speak for God have chosen rather to sleep. Even the Pope, I heard the Pope was saying that he accuses the church of an impotent silence, suggesting that the church and its leaders suffer not only from a lust for power, and sometimes you see it in our own church, a lust for power. Yeah. young men going into the ministry, not to spread the gospel, but just for a lust for power. Never had being in a powerful position growing up, always being put down and seeking the pulpit to get power. The Pope even calls those spiritual Alzheimer's, which essentially means that the church has forgotten what it was here to do in the first place. Spiritual Alzheimer's. I just went to the hospital this morning to visit a lady who's suffering from dementia, Alzheimer's. And as I stood there and the family surrounded her, we said a prayer for her. And of course, I was the only African American in the group. And the lady looked around at her family, not recognizing hardly anyone, but she did notice her husband. And as she put her eyes upon her husband, there was a slight smile on her face. It seems like that was the last person that she could recognize. Those 60 years of marriage was that husband of hers. And it was thrilling to me to see her smile. And then, of course, she looked at me and says, "Who is that? Who is he?" and my badge, my chaplain badge was covering, my coat was covering my badge, and the husband told me, "Well, show your badge." So I was able to show my badge. You know, some people, they want to know that you're official. You know, you're not just in there hanging around. You know, you're different color and everything. And so I pulled my coat back, and I showed my badge, and she reached up and grabbed my badge, and, you know, it has one of the little things on it. And she looked at it like that. "Well, who is he?" she says. And her husband said, "Well, he's the chaplain," and calmed her down. But the Pope says that the church has spiritual Alzheimer's disease, which means that we have forgotten what our mission was at the church. And our first mission is to fear God and give glory to his name, then to take this gospel that he has given our church and spread it around. Get outside of the church and spread the good news. We don't want spiritual Alzheimer's. We're living in serious times. As serious as the middle passage, as serious as whips and chains and auction blocks, as serious as Montgomery and Selma and the Edmund Pettus Bridge and Trayvon Martin and all the other ones who were choked or shot in the street or left dead because of those who were standing their ground. We're living in serious times. And in these serious times, church, the church needs voices. It needs voices. It needs voices that are not afraid to tell the world that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We need voices in the church today. We need a whole slew of young men with energy who will listen to God like Samuel and respond to God, "Speak, Lord." And I don't mean every one of you have to be preachers, but be a man of integrity. God is looking for young men of integrity. Ellen White in the book Gospel Workers, she says, and I quote, "There are lessons for us to learn from the experience of the apostles. These men were as true as steel to principle. They were men who would not fail nor be discouraged. They were full of reverence and zeal for God, full of noble purposes and aspirations. They were by nature as weak and helpless as any of those now engaged in the work. But they put their whole trust in the Lord. Wealth they had, but it consisted of mind and soul culture. And this everyone may have who will make God first and last and best in everything. She goes on to say about these apostles that Jesus chose. They toil long to learn the lessons given them in the school of Christ. And they did not toil in vain. They bound themselves up with the mightiest of all powers and were ever longing for a deeper, higher, broader comprehension of eternal realities, that they might successfully present the treasures of truth to the needy. I love what she says. She says, workers of this character are now needed. Men, and I'm sure she means women as well, men and women who will consecrate themselves without reserve to the work of representing the kingdom of God to a world lying in wickedness. The world needs men of thought, men of principle, men who are constantly growing in understanding and discernment. There is great need of men who can use the press to the best advantage, that the truth may be given wings to speed it to every nation and tongue and people. And to the young people, she says, you've heard this, with such an army of workers as our youth, rightly trained, yes, might furnish, how soon the message of a crucified, risen, and soon coming Savior might be carried to the world, whole world. How soon might the end come, the end of suffering and sorrow and sin? How soon, in place of a possession here, with its blight of sin and pain, our children might receive their inheritance, where the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever, where the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard. It's in the book Education, page 271. And so it is, as Samuel opened his ears up to God while he lay there and responded to God, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We look at the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, as he also was a man. And I want to make sure we recognize what a sacrifice he made in the lives of others. He had an interesting life. As I was reading Martin Luther King Jr., a profile this week, I found out some interesting things about Dr. Martin Luther King that I had not known before, the way he was raised. As you know, he came from a family of ministers and was raised there in Atlanta, Georgia. But there is some very personal information that I just wanted to share about Dr. Martin Luther King, who was also called and who listened to the call of God. Born in Atlanta, January 15, 1929. He was born into a family of middle-class black Americans. His father, Martin Luther King Sr., was a Baptist minister. His mother, Alberta Williams King, was a school teacher. King graduated from Morehouse College in 1948 at the age of 19. At the age of 19, I was going into college. He had already finished college. 19 years of age, he graduated. 3 years later, he took the Bachelor of Divinity degree at Crozier Theological Seminary in Chester, Pennsylvania, graduating at the head of his class, winning the Pearl Plafker Award for Scholarship and the J. Lewis Crozier Fellowship as well. He entered graduate school of theology at Boston University in 1951, where he studied briefly with Edgar Sheffield Brightman. He was awarded a PhD in systematic theology in 1955. And it was there at Boston University that Dr. King met Coretta Scott King of Marion, Alabama, who had graduated from Antioch College and was then studying at the New England Conservatory of Music. They were married in 1953, the year I was born, and became the parents of four children, Yolanda, Martin Luther III, Dexter, and Bernice. And Dr. King pastored the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, from 1954 until he left Montgomery in 1960. And while there at Dexter Avenue, he was elected president of the Montgomery Improvement Association, which organized a year-long boycott against segregated public transportation in Montgomery. 1957, Dr. King organized what later became the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC, and was elected its president. For a decade, Martin Luther was world famous as a leader of Black Americans in their struggle against discrimination and race prejudice. In 1967, going over just a few highlights of Dr. King's life as we compare it to Samuel in his call into ministry. In the spring of 1967, in speeches at the Chicago Coliseum and at Riverside Church in New York, King associated himself with the Vietnam peace movement. And this is what alienated him from other Black leaders at the time and resulted in a considerable erosion of his Black constituency. But King pressed on. He pressed on ahead. In the midst of plans for a Poor People's March on Washington, Martin Luther King made the second of two trips to Memphis to rally support for the garbage collectors there who were on strike for better wages and improved working conditions. And while in Memphis, I'll never forget that day, he was murdered by an assassin firing from ambush as King stood on the balcony of the Lorraine Hotel talking with friends and members of his staff. It was the 4th of April, 1968. And I remember I was in high school at the time, attending BHS High School, the 4 years that I was out of the academy. Was there at BHS, and this was the first time I had experienced, actually, it was a riot. I remember the bell rang at the end of school, and it had been announced that Dr. King had been assassinated there in April 1968. And I remember the whole school going into a frenzy. And at that time, there were 2,000 or 3,000 students at Bakersfield High. It was a large school. And I remember the students there all of a sudden start turning on people of a different color and running down the street, hollering, chasing the whites that were there at the school. And it was a very confusing time for me back in 1968. When Dr. King was assassinated, I finally was able to sift through the crowd and make it home that day to find my mother bewildered and my grandparents bewildered as to what happened on that day in April. But what a life he lived, what sacrifices he made, and where God called him, an inexperienced preacher, he called him into the ministry. Just a young man, had not left school for too long and called to take leadership position and to help us as a people gain what we could not have experienced had he not taken that leadership position. Because he listened to God, as did Samuel, listening to God and hearing him. Not only hearing him, but being obedient to God. Being obedient to God. Not having the experience, not having the look. You remember Saul had the look. And everybody wanted Saul as king. But Saul was indeed important for Israel. But the real Saul, the one that was after God's own heart, was Samuel. It was Samuel who adhered to God. He was the ideal man. He was obedient to God. And in his youth, he was deeply committed to the service of God. And during that time, it was a wicked environment that Samuel lived in. He grew in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. Samuel was indeed a holy man growing up in an unholy time. And as we go into our appeal today, my challenge today is for us as we launch out into the new year, 2015. Oh, that we would listen to God even more. We're going to have a prayer time today at 3 to 5. And I'm inviting the church to come out. We're going to seek the Lord in prayer. We're going to ask God to give us listening ears this year. Many of us are leaving. Young men are leaving today, going to the Navy, as stated. Some of us are leaving out of town. But we're going to ask God if he would just give us listening ears today as he speaks to us. And like Samuel, not only listen to him, but respond to him. And wherever he wants us to go in 2015. I'm excited about what's going to happen here at Southside as we launch out. We attended the Lifestyle Matters seminar this week. Those of you, some of you were there. And one of my goals is that Southside would become not only known for its good music, but it would be known that we are a health-conscious church. That we improve not only our spiritual life, but our physical life. And that we may be mindful of our bodies and recognize that they are temples. We're going to be reaching out to the community. We want you to pray for our health team as we start. We've started with our activities once a month. We want you to come out and join us as we get physical. And if we adhere to the rules of God's word, we will be blessed. So may we have listening ears as we embark on the new year, 2015. And I'm going to invite you out today at 3 o'clock. And we're going to have our prayer warriors in place. And we will begin a prayer session that God would help us. Also, we want to pray for the meetings that will be held at our central church, that God's Spirit will be poured out upon Pastor Taj as he preaches the revelation word there. We're going to also have a prayer for that meeting as well. But let's also lift up prayer for this church and our officers at this church, that he might give each officer a vision for 2015, and that we might not only win souls, but that we will keep souls. It's one thing baptizing members, but it's a sad thing to see members leave and not come back. And that's our theme for the year, Operation Reach Back. We want everybody to reach back. All of us have relatives that are not in the church. And by the grace of God, we want to pray that we use all of our strength to reach back and get our own that are missing. If we were to get all of our relatives that are missing from church, there wouldn't be a seat here today. So that's on my heart today as we end in prayer. Won't you bow with me as we pray? Father in heaven, we want to seek your face today. We want, above all, Lord, to be obedient like your servant Samuel, who not only listened to your word, Lord, but he responded. He heard and he responded. And you blessed his efforts, Father. You blessed Dr. Martin Luther King, Lord, who in his short life was able to make such a powerful difference in society, Father. Who didn't think of his own life, the 39 years that he lived, but dedicated his service to the people and to justice. And you are a God of justice. We thank you for that, Father. Lord, as we embark on this new year, Lord, we pray for those voices in Southside, voices that you can't keep silent, voices that are unashamed that we are Seventh-day Adventists and we are looking for the second coming of Jesus. Voices that will tell the world, yes, judgment is here, judgment is now. Get ready, Jesus is coming again. Voices that are unashamed to be Christian in this society, Lord, where Christianity is looked down upon, Father. On our jobs, Lord, in our homes, Father. Help us to be mindful of your presence and keep a listening ear, Lord. And respond, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So that, Lord, one day when you come again, we will have our ears attuned to your voice. As it says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. And oh, that great day when we will all enter through those gates into the city to live eternally with Jesus Christ, our Savior. Oh, what a day that will be. What a glorious day when there'll be no more sorrow, no more misery, no more pain, no more hospital visits, no more ICU. No more canes and crutches and wheelchairs, Lord. A day when our bodies will be perfect like Jesus. And we will walk around heaven rejoicing. And there'll always be peace and everlasting life there, Lord. And there we will dwell with you. We will sit at your feet. And even be taught even more, Father, throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Oh, Lord, we want to be there. We want to meet our children there. We want to be there with our loved ones. We want to go to heaven, Lord, and spend eternity, Lord. So help our minds, Father, to not to dwell on the things of this earth. Help us not to get attached to this earthly mess, but to always may our conversations be heavenward and always speak of eternal life. Lord, we live here such a short life. Lord, help us to make the best of these years by being obedient to you, Lord, and telling others about the soon coming of Jesus, Father. Lord, may our lives be different in 2015 than they were in 2014, Father. May we stop the habits that we had, Lord. Give us the power and the victory over sin in our lives, Lord. Help us to be more like you. Less proud and less arrogant. More humble and loving like you, Father. Create in us clean hearts. Renew a right spirit within us, Father, as we look into this new year. Bless each family here. Bless each marriage here. Bless each children here, Lord. Each child here. Each person of age, Lord. Bless them in a special way. And now, O God, unto him who's able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of his glory, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Let the church say amen.